The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with the assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hi guys, you're listening to That's Mint on Fresh FM, broadcasting across the top of the south on 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 107.2 Nelson CBD, 88.9 Blenheim, 95.0 Eastern Golden Bay, and streaming to the planet on thefreshfm.co.nz. Hi guys, welcome back. I'm Imogen.
Hi, I'm Kinnery.
I'm Trisha.
Hi, I'm Nicolee.
My name is David.
And today we're going to be having... Sorry, David, that was crazy. Today we're going to be talking about cultural food.
Yes, yay. My favorite.
Our favorite topic ever. We love food in Mint.
I'm so hungry.
I'm sorry, guys. We just got back from school and we're all starving. So this episode might be quite enthusiastic. Yeah, it's going to be pure.
Mm.
We all know the whole world can... appreciate that cultural food
is the best.
Is the best food. Food cooked by brown people is just
It just slaps.
It's just like no comparison.
And it always comes from the heart as well.
You know that a mom spent lots of time in that kitchen mixing, cooking, like sitting on the floor, rolling. Oh, so many seasonings. You know when you walk into a house and then it's
you
just like
smell that.
You can smell the
Oh, that's my favorite spice.
And like you open the cupboard doors
and
it's just rows of spice jars.
In different containers as well.
It's even better when you're going over
you
for
know
dinner.
What I mean?
You know you're gonna be eating good.
You know, it's like like the ice cream container. In like the supermarket plastic bags.
That's how you know it's pure.
You just know it's going to be so yum.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kinnery, tell us about some of your cultural food and what it means to you. What's your favorite food?
Let me tell you. Oh, that's not a good question. I have too many.
I love iced Thai tea.
Thai food is just I feel like the whole world appreciates that. Everywhere you go, there's a Thai restaurant. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I work at a Thai restaurant. It's amazing.
Nice
not to be biased, but I do love Thai food quite a bit. My favorite dish ever is probably khao soi. Even better.
Ooh. What is it?
Dry khao soi.
It's tell like, us. David just like grumbling in the background. It must be good.
Oh, I'm going to start crying. It's so beautiful. So it's like this okay, there's two. Like classic, it's from up northern Thailand, Isan kind of area. The classic one is like this coconut chicken curry
soup, sort of.
And I'm not done. And so, it's so good. In it, every seasoning ever.
Is it like Thai green curry?
No, it's orange.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good. And then in it, there's chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like noodles, like egg noodles. And then
and in then, the curry?
Yeah, it's like a sauce. It's like a soup with the noodle in it, but it's like curry
soup.
Stop,
I'm hungry right now.
And then I'm not done. And then there's like cabbage, onion, and then on top crispy noodles.
Okay.
Double noodles is crispy. Crazy.
Oh, my favorite. And then kimchi.
Oh my gosh. That is too good.
That's so good.
Do you think that there's like this Western like ideal of Thai food, and how accurate is it? You know, like we always go to these Thai restaurants and it's like Thai food, but is it like
actually Thai?
Like, is it like, authentic, or do you think they like kind of westernize it to fit the palate?
Yeah, it depends where you are and like who owns the restaurant, but I think definitely at a lot of Thai restaurants, it's like, oh, that's good, but it's not like, it's like kind of like whitewashed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
I feel like homemade cooked food is like absolutely best.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, but like I've never heard of this food that you're talking about at the moment. You know, I've never seen that in a menu.
Oh, well, you're missing out.
I think I am. I think I'm gonna share.
I think you should come and give us some.
Yeah, I think we're pulling up to Kinnery's house later.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. But yeah, I think especially here, I've seen we don't really go out for Thai food that much because why would we? I mean, like
yeah
my mom. But also, whenever we do, it's like this is kind of basic, but it's never spicy. Like the spicy level is always like
Yeah.
I think in the main dish that people see when they think of Thailand is like the classic like fried rice, spring rolls, pad thai. It's all good.
So
don't get me wrong. But it's also kind of annoying when people are like, oh, I love Thai food, blah, blah, blah. Like, I love Thailand and all this. But if you saw other dishes. But
they haven't tried, like, other dishes.
Mm. Yeah, like, I mean, like, Thailand's a big country, and I'm assuming it's extremely diverse.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of ethnic groups.
That's the same for Nepal as well. Yeah, definitely. Because Nepal's only known for momo, which is Nepali dumpling.
Which are the greatest things to have ever been invented.
I love momos.
But I feel like there's also so much, like, bitter food out there in our cultural,
what's
like,
your favorite?
Food. For me, I don't know. I think it's like our platter, and it's just like sal roti, which is like roti, but like it's sweet.
Oh, I love roti.
With like achar, which is like a spicy kind of food. I don't know how to say it. Like a dipping
almost,
sauce.
Yeah, like or a chutney like. Almost.
Yeah, like a chutney. And like obviously dal and rice and meat.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like an iconic like platter, and like it's so iconic that even other people that come, we always serve them that because like, it's like it feels like home.
Right, it's like the representation.
Yeah,
of
and
Nepal.
It's like welcome. You know, yeah.
Definitely. What about you, David? What's your favorite Nepali food?
It's either momo or chapati.
Yeah, chapati, pani puri.
Oh my
pani puri. Is like more shared between India and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that actually. Like, I think that a lot of the time when you guys talk about being Nepali and Nepali food, it's always compared with Indian. And I mean, Nikali being Sri Lankan, I think that's similar with you guys as well. Although you guys have some really cool food. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But how does that feel? And do you guys feel like there's a lot of similarities or it's still very different?
I think there is a lot of similarity. Yeah, but I forgot what I was gonna say.
I think pani puri is mostly originates from India.
Yeah,
we can say that. But I think over time, it got really popular and came down to Nepal, and they became like kind of in the way that like Nepali turned it into like kind of their style.
Yeah.
In the way. Just like how chowmein, I think, was originally from China.
Yeah, but we also make chowmein as well.
But in Nepali like, style.
Yeah, it's just like the nature of sharing borders, you know?
Can I say, I think it's so beautiful how food is just shared through cultures and like it makes its way everywhere.
Yeah.
I can name so many countries that have roti, but like, they're all so different in their own ways.
Exactly.
That's such a true thing. I read this book last year. It was called High on the Hog, and it was about like how the African diaspora and the slave trade can be traced back through food, and how like things like fried chicken and I don't know macaroni and cheese and all these like classical American dishes can actually be tracked all the way back to West Africa and like Benin and Mali, and how like the slaves, they didn't have anything to hold on to. They didn't have language. They didn't have culture. It was all like erased, but they clung on to food, and how like, you know, like the classical story about how Africans braided rice into their hair. Mm. So then when they moved to America, they grew rice, and that's how rice came. And then there's things like gumbo and jollof rice, and you know.
That's really interesting.
It was such an interesting book, but it like really made me reflect. And when we're talking about things like chow mein and you know, momo, you know, all these foods, like there's stories behind how they got to people and how they got this famous and why we eat them, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
You're talking about in Thailand and rice noodles, you know? Yeah. There's a reason why they turned rice into noodles, and why was that? You know, there's always a story and it's always so much deeper, and I think Sri Lanka is a great example of that.
Definitely.
Don't you think, Nikali?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there's like so many foods from Sri Lanka that I haven't tried because we have so many like diversity, you know?
Yeah.
Like we have Muslims, Tamils, and then Sinhalese people. So mostly what I've tried is Sinhala food, but then I haven't really been able to try like Muslim, Tamil kind of food. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think it's really beautiful if there's like two cultures and they don't speak the language, they always connect through food.
Definitely.
Like giving each other like their own food and like trying it out. Even if they don't speak the same language, you can feel that bond.
Yeah. That is something that has really stuck out to me whenever I visited Thailand, because my dad doesn't really speak Thai. He's not from Thailand, but every time I'm visiting my family or just anywhere in Thailand, really, like just at any restaurant or anywhere, the thing that Thai people always offer us is food. And we always just sit down with them and we just eat. And it's so good. But it also just, it, I don't know, it feels really loving. Like, you feel the love from people from the food that they give you. Because that's kind of a vulnerable spot to put yourself in. Like, when you really think about it, you don't know what could be in that food. Like,
yeah, it's trusting. Mm. It really is. That's a really good point. I remember when I went to Jamaica for the first time in 2024. And it was this really weird moment for me where my mom, she cooks Jamaican food at home, not all the time, but frequently enough, you know. And there were so many foods that I just thought everyone ate. And I didn't know they were Jamaican food. And it was like this moment where I was in a restaurant and I looked at the menu and I was like, this is the food I eat at home, you know. Mm. Like, it's not like Thai food where there's restaurants everywhere. I had never gone to a Jamaican restaurant. Oh. And so it was like, oh my God, why is the flavors that I've only ever tasted in my mom's cooking just everywhere, you know? Yeah. And it was this realization of like, these are my people. And like, I always feel very far removed from my Jamaican culture. It's something I just, because I've only been there once and because my mom is second generation Jamaican, it's like so far away from who I am. Yeah. But then when I'm eating this food, I'm like, but this is something that's woven into my every single day life. And that was just such a beautiful moment for me. It was like, I am Jamaican, you know? Yeah. I taste this flavor. I taste this pimento. You taste it too.
Yeah. That's so beautiful.
It was.
How did it feel like going from somewhere where you didn't see that food everywhere, like out in public and stuff, and then just seeing it everywhere? Was that kind of like a
surprising?
Nice...
Surprising?
It was so surprising. Mm. And it was like, I don't know, it just tasted so good. Yeah. Like, I was just like, but it was also like, it was weird because, you know, I'm on vacation, I'm in an environment that I don't recognize, you know? Yeah. Like, no matter how much historical connection I have to that land, I'd never been there before, you know? I didn't recognize the people, I could kind of understand the language, but not speak it, you know? Yeah. All these things, but then it was like, but food. It tastes like home, you know? This place that I've never been tastes like my house and the food I've grown up eating.
Oh my
it was
gosh.
So strange.
It's kind of cool how your culture follows you around like that.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Sri Lanka and the colonization because you guys have some really interesting colonial dishes, like your pastries. Do you want to talk about that?
I don't know much about pastries, but I know, like, lump rice. I know it came from, like, Indonesia. Like, it was, like, influenced from Indonesia, like, the word lump rice. Mm. And then it meant, like, a lump of rice, so we turned into, like, rice in, like, a banana leaf. I don't know where the banana leaf came from. But,
wow.
Yeah.
And you guys have all of your, like, breads and stuff, you know?
Yeah, we actually didn't know how to make bread in Sri Lanka, and then people from, like, Portuguese,
yeah.
Yeah, they came and then they taught us how to make bread. That's where, like, rospang, and then we started kind of, like, putting our own kind of thing into it. And then we made, like, rospang. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
It's so interesting. I follow this, like, Sri Lankan chef on Instagram, and so much of their, like, cuisine, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Nicolie, you're the Sri Lankan, but a lot of their cuisine almost reminds me of, like, French cooking, or, like, I guess it's the Portuguese and the British who colonized them. But I was looking at the bread stands, was it called, or, like, the little trucks that...
Oh, chungbang.
Yeah.
It's, like, little, like, tuk-tuks that go around, and it's, like, I love it. It's just, like, such a, like... fun childhood memory. You know?
And what do they sell?
They sell pastries and breads and stuff. And you would, like, as a child, like, we would always go running when you heard the sound of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that's, like, such a beautiful thing, you know?
Yeah, like, it's like an ice cream truck.
Yeah, like, it's in the middle of the Indian Ocean in Sri Lanka, you know? Like, you would never think there'd be bread trucks, you know? Selling, like, Western pastries. But I think that's just, like, it's history. That's a story that's being told through you eating that food.
And... yeah, you're not going to forget where that comes from because you eat it every day, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you see it all the time.
That's so
your
true.
History and your culture really follows you through your food especially.
Can I tell, like, a fun fact?
Yeah. Yes, please.
So I'm Bhutanese Nepali. So my dad used to tell me that in Bhutan, where he lived for, like, a really long time, basically grew up, he told me that, do you guys know Jia?
Yeah.
Tea? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that back there, they didn't have any sugar or anything. So traditional way where they make jia in Bhutan was they add salt and butter. But in Nepal, they add sugar and like bay leaves and stuff like that. So it was like really surprising to see how different it is, but yet so similar.
Mm. Wow. And you know, like the word cha or chai or cha.
It's cha and Thai as well.
Yeah, you know, like this word, it's just one word.
Yeah.
And you can find it in India. You just said Thailand, yeah. Nepal, Bhutan, you know. All of these places share a dialect through food.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
When people were migrating and moving through other countries and finding all this new land and moving out and blah, 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 like the food just followed them and then it adapted to the land that they were in, and it's just such a beautiful story.
Yeah.
It is a story. Like, we don't need books and writing to tell stories. You can look at, I mean, our dances and our food and so many things to track back history.
Also, I feel like cultured food just gives you memories, you know?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean with that. Yeah. I think just eating a home-cooked meal, a home-cooked Thai meal, just like,
It brings you back.
Yeah.
And like my mom, whenever she's cooking, she doesn't follow a recipe. And like she'll just... Because, you know, they never follow recipes. None of the round ones
I get
do.
So shocked. Like, how do you know how when it's perfect
and, you know,
and stuff?
Like, how
I need
she
to learn.
Knows how it's perfect is she tastes it. Like, she always...
Yeah.
I'm always eating something and I'm like, this tastes good. And she's like, no, it doesn't taste right. And I'm like, how do you know what right is? And she's like, it's just like, it doesn't taste like my childhood. And she's just trying to match those flavors, you know, because she knows how it tastes and her grandma would have tasted it and then made it to taste like her childhood. You know,
like,
that's a rhythm. When I'm an adult, I'm going to taste it and think, no, it doesn't taste like how my mom made it.
Yeah.
You know, that's like so beautiful.
So beautiful.
Yeah, my mom does that too. Whenever we're making... I think it was jomin and stuff.
Yeah.
When she told me to crush the garlic, so I'm like, how many you want? How many you want? I was like, just get a clove. I was like, okay, and I smash a clove, and then she's like, ah, put another clove in.
Like, not enough.
Not enough.
There's no recipe books.
Yeah.
And then, like what Trisha said about about putting salt and butter. I only really knew about the salt part. I was like at my grandpa's house, which he stays with Esther and stuff. And then he'd make his cha, and I was like, oh, he's gonna put some sugar in it. No, he put some salt in it. I was like, why is he doing that? I guess he that carried from him from when he was living in Bhutan.
Yeah. I feel like food just is like a special, it has like a special meaning. It's not just food. It's just like, it's beyond.
It really is. So much beyond. Food. And then, you know, when you go to things like the Multicultural Festival and TANF, like our Tasman Asian Food Fair, like they are festivals and they are entertainment, but even like our dance and our food, it's us being so vulnerable and us telling a story. And, you know, like when I see New Zealanders going and eating the cultural food and like taking that first bite and being like, wow, this is delicious, you know, like that means something to that food stand who just made that food for you.
Yeah.
Like they're telling you their story. They're being vulnerable and sharing their history with you. And you saying, yum, that means something, you know?
It probably holds like a special like place in their heart.
Definitely.
And another thing about like cultural food is that a lot of this isn't written down. It's just passed on. I learn recipes from my mom, who learned recipes from her mom, who learned recipes from her mom, and just more and more and more. And it just, I don't know, I think that's really beautiful because you can taste it when you eat it. Like, you can tell how much work and time and effort and love has been put into this recipe because you just have to remember it and you just know what it tastes like and you just make it.
It's so beautiful. Okay, so now we're going to play a song. David, do you want to introduce it?
Yep, the song is Kalo Dunga by Night or Rati or Rat. You can say it in Nepali many ways. But yeah, it's a really, really interesting band or play of like a new folk music.
Oh, cool.
Instead of old one, they mix old but with kind of modern.
Oh,
but
wow.
They use olden folk instruments, which they turn into like new school type of folk. So it's really interesting.
Oh my gosh, I'm actually really excited to hear this. So
let's have a listen.
I hope you guys enjoy.
Yep, buckle up for the long ride.
Thank you. Timro,
kamiz, kalo
pani timro tu sare timro kami
Welcome back to That's Meant. You just listened to Kalo Dunga. Previously on this episode, we just talked about cultural food.
And how much we absolutely love it and the historical ties, I guess, that it can carry.
And yeah. how much it like means when you eat it, like what it brings back memories and you just taste the love in it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So on the plus side to people experiencing our food and being positive about it, there's a lot of negative, like, I don't know, stereotypes that come with cultural definitely. Food as well.
Like saying, oh, like another person saying, oh, that food's stinky, I don't want to try it.
I think that's something that every brown kid has experienced in primary school.
Something that really annoys me is when people kind of pick and choose what they want. Like, I think it's kind of stuck up to be able to be in that position and think, oh, I only like this thing from your culture, but this thing is kind of gross. And
Definitely.
It just really annoys me when people do that because for me, I guess, I feel like Thai food has kind of become quite mainstream in
a way. It's almost appropriated in a way.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's good. And I think that too. Don't get me wrong. But when people are like, oh, I love Thai food so much. But then I'm just thinking, I showed you this food one time. I showed you this dessert and you looked at me like it was the most disgusting thing on the planet. And that is just kind of, that really gets me going. Because
I think that there's this idea, this Western idea, that cultural food is like, or not even cultural food, but food in general, there's like a sweet and a savory food.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of cultural food does not fit into those boxes and people
think
it's
weird. It's like a bunch of mixture.
Mm-hmm. And I think I guess maybe people feel kind of uncomfortable or threatened when like food doesn't appeal to them. Like it doesn't appeal to their categories that they have in their own culture.
Yeah.
Also, one thing I've noticed is a lot of people judge the food before they actually taste it.
Yeah, it doesn't look normal to them, so they're not going to like it. And I think you're allowed to not like food, but you can always try it.
Yeah.
Nickly, what were you going to say?
Like, I remember in primary and stuff, when I would open my lunchbox, people like peek over my shoulder and be like, oh, what's that? It's always like, oh, what's that? And it's kind of like a judgy face.
Like, it's okay to ask while we're eating.
Yeah.
If you've never seen it before and it's interesting to you, please ask. We'll let you taste it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
There's a line. You don't have to cross it.
Yeah, because that's like maybe it's their parents' hard work and like it's their like love food for someone.
Yeah. And like you don't have to like it.
Yeah.
But if you try it, you know, you actually like, you're like, wow, this is so good. I remember after a shift at night, the Thai chefs were cooking something and they were cooking like they were using like the duck neck, the neck of the part. Duck meat is so good.
Yeah,
it's so good. So versatile, it's so good. I love it. They're making this duck from the throat part. It was super good and they make it super spicy. I was like, at first, it was like 2 years ago. I was like, oh, okay, what's this? I was like, duck throat, you want to try? I was like, okay. And I tried it. I was like, damn, this is spicy and good. And then 2 years later, he still makes it, and I'm still eating it.
Aww.
It's real good.
That's
real
so nice. Sweet.
And another thing is, like, even us, we have dishes from our own cultures that we probably won't like. Like, you don't have to like every single food.
Exactly.
But you don't have to approach it with a negative mindset as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Like,
we have like Jamaican's most famous meat is goat meat, and I get a lot of people being like, that's so weird, like goat, but guys, you're eating sheep. It's literally the same thing. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of respect, and like as we've been saying this whole episode, cultural food means a lot to us. Our food is our identity, and so to like turn your nose up to one thing is to turn your nose up to the other thing as
well.
So I think that's all we've got time for today.
That's some food for thought.
Some food for thought, pun not
definitely
intended.
Definitely gonna go and get some cultural food after this.
We love food! So thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you, everybody.
I hope you have some delicious food to go home to.
Yes.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.co.nz, for our contact details.